Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
This week we are joined by Nate Totten from Thuzi, who's going to talk to us a little bit about a dynamic solution to deploying websites in Windows Azure. Yep. And so we'll get to that soon, but first we're going to cover the news.
And we have very important news about kittens.
Yeah.
Which is obviously why we brought up this page.
Really cute.
This is actually a cool service, but it's not the point. The reason it's here...
This is just a nice background.
Purely here as a placeholder, which is really what Place Kitten is all about. It is there as a background because we want to talk about SDK 1.4 that was shipped for Windows Azure. By the time you're watching this, we will have shipped SDK 1.4 for Windows Azure. But it hasn't happened at the time we're recording it. Yes. We're like an hour too early.
So today is Wednesday, and it is roughly 12:45-ish, and we have not yet...
It's 12:30.
And we haven't actually shipped the blog post, so we don't have anything to show, so we decided to show you kittens.
Yes.
But we will talk
But we can tell you about it anyway. So it's actually really three things. Three things came out. One is SDK 1.4, which is primarily stability, bug fixes. It's not a whole bunch of new functionality in SDK 1.4, but some of the sort of more annoying things about SDK 1.3 have been addressed.
Did we address the issue of the machine key value in the web config file?
Which issue with that? Yes, we did.
Yes, so particularly if I'm in a solution with source control and I don't have the web config checked out, every time I do a build, am I going to get notified too?
We used to give you this really obscure error, the channel can't be used because it's in the faulted state.
Yep.
Now we just delete the whole project. So it's totally been fixed. You'll only hit this once.
That's an iron-handed solution.
No. Now if your web config is read-only, we just don't mess with it.
Right.
So that's actually nice. That's cleaned up, and we will take the value from the machine config if you have it in web.config, so you don't need a workaround to kind of set it to the right thing. The ACLs on IIS logs, that issue has been addressed.
Nice. Yep.
Again, we just delete them all. It's the same sort of fix as the other ones.
You don't actually need those logs.
I don't know. There's a list of things.
I'm sure there's going to be nice release notes.
As you can see on the Place Kitten post here, there's a set of release notes. Yeah, we'll have. There's a whole set of release notes that lists a lot of the bugs that have been fixed. But it's mostly bug fixes and even things that you might not consider bugs, but we've sort of improved the way they work.
A question. If I have 1.3 installed today, which most likely most of our viewers do, do I need to go to 1.4? Or is it recommended?
It's recommended.
Will I still be able to deploy my applications using 1.3?
Yeah. You can stay with 1.3. It is pretty recommended. Since 1.4 doesn't really change a lot of stuff or really anything, it's really about stability and bug fixes and whatever. I highly recommend it. You don't have to do it today, but if you do, you won't be sorry. I don't expect there to be any changes. If you want to wait a week just to find out what everybody else does and see if there are any issues, I won't hold it against you.
Right.
But after that week, go pick it up. It's well worth it.
And there's no breaking changes in it.
No breaking changes, except that part where we delete all your files.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
So that's one of the three things that is announced kitten page that you see here.
What about that kitten?
This kitten over here represents Windows Azure Connect. You can see because it's sort of a mirror thing. This is on-premise, and then this is in the cloud.
Yep.
And it's communicating with itself through Connect.
Okay.
Windows Azure Connect, I don't really know what
CTP
changed
refresh.
In this one. Yeah, there's basically just a refresh of the CTP. One of the things I know changed is support in the portal for having multiple administrators for your Windows Azure Connect stuff. I'm sure there's other things that if I had a blog post here, I would tell you about.
Yep.
One thing to note is
when you're using Connect, you're going to have a service that you install locally. You will need to download the new version of the service. There should be documentation. At least I was told we would provide some documentation that describes how to easily migrate across. I haven't seen it yet.
We just told you that to shut you up.
Because I was like, how do I use it? How do I migrate my stuff? But if they do in fact release that, we'll provide that as a show link as well.
Yeah, we will get the links for all the stuff in the show notes anyway.
So. Yeah, okay.
So that. And then there's a third thing.
CTP refresh?
The third thing, which I love because I love all things CDN. And there is basically new functionality in the CDN that's being released that lets you use the CDN on top of your web role or worker role or VM role, but just in general, on top of your application, you put the CDN. So not just on top of blobs, which is what we've always had with the CDN, but now also on top of your website. So if you have some
CSS
dynamically
files.
Generated but generally static stuff, right? Because even CSS files, you might argue, should really go in blob storage. It's better to kind of serve them straight from blob storage or whatever. But if you have something like an RSS feed and you blog as frequently as I do, which is like once a week, the RSS feed is ripe for caching. Anything that you would typically cache on a box there, you could also cache using the CDN, bring it closer to your...
Now, maybe explain this a little bit for me, because I haven't seen the documentation around it yet, but my understanding is that it's use in the web role is by convention, right? So you have to use a particular... I don't remember if it's based by the folder name or, but there's some convention you need to follow that tells the service that it should be picked up by the CDN.
There's an explicit. You have to turn on the CDN with, and you'll get a domain back from there. You almost always put your own custom domain on that, I would think.
Yep.
But then the mapping is right. The root of, so if it's like cdn.smarks.com. That maps to something.cloudapp.net/cdn.
Right.
So that's the convention part, is that all the paths will get remapped to have CDN on them.
So if I have something dynamic like your RSS feed, I need to modify my app so that that RSS feed...
So that the URL for that feed is /cdn / RSS, something like that.
It's important. Yeah. I mean,
I'll probably go do this on my blog. So actually, I'll probably be able to blog pretty soon about exactly how I did it.
We can either point to a resource or cover it in another show.
Yep.
So excellent.
So those are the kittens.
Yeah.
Let's
I'm really excited.
Move on to things that don't have kittens on them. This one, no kittens about this one because this is an error message.
Yeah. So just recently, there were some changes made internally that had an effect on the production site for the Windows Azure App Fabric service. And effectively, what happens is when you create a new service namespace, it'll actually take a few minutes for it to replicate the DNS entries for your service namespace through the internal system. So it's possible if after creating the service namespace, if you try to address it right away or select it or refresh, it may not be available and you will get an error page.
You will get this poor and sad I'm not sure if it's always the same picture, but you'll get something.
It is actually the same person.
If we just put a kitten there, no one would even mind.
That's true. We should talk to the team about putting a kitten there.
But you'll get this error message, and if you wait a couple minutes and then just sort of come back to it, it'll work.
Again, it's just a DNS propagation. It's just the DNS propagating internally. We're going to have another release here to the portal soon. And it should make this go away, but just in the interim, be aware that if you create the service namespace, you may have to wait a couple minutes for it to propagate.
And wait, I have one question about this, which is why is this paragraph a lighter shade than this one?
Because it's conveying different information. One's about, you know, the time that, I don't know. One's gray, one's
black. I like that you were going to make something up, though.
I was going to try.
That was good. One's
I really
happier.
Don't know.
Yeah, the bold's a little happier, right?
Okay. No, I buy it. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Well, and you know, we want to make sure that that's black, too, because that isn't an apology, right? We apologize for any inconvenience.
Right.
If we made that gray, it's not as solid.
Yeah, this is sort of the workaround. You have to wait for a couple minutes. That's the
and
gray
maybe,
part.
Maybe on certain monitors you can't actually see that, so we don't want people to actually see that there's a problem. No.
It's entirely possible that on this recording you can't even tell that these are different colors, which
it's
is
possible.
It'll make us look kind of dumb.
Ridiculous.
But we're used to it. Last thing, a book. Which is now out of date because we just shipped SDK 1.4.
Sorry, David.
I tried to warn you that a book about Windows Azure is quickly out of date. No, this book is not out of date because this book is a lot about strategy and planning.
That's what it's called, right?
Volume 1.
And planning.
It is volume 1. There are going to be 36 volumes in the final. Actually, he promised one volume per CDN node.
Nice.
So
he's at least going to have to get 72.
What are we now?
Like,
yeah, something like
70.
That. And one gets added roughly every 3 hours. And so he's going to have to keep updating this. No, actually, what he's told me is there are going to be 4 volumes at least. I got him to put the at least in there.
At least.
Because who knows? More
who knows?
Stuff may come up. There might be a whole new sort of
thing. Why go back and edit a volume? You could just create additional volumes,
create
right?
One. Exactly. I'm with you. So anyway, so this one is very much kind of the how do you think about it, get an understanding of it, decide how you're going to use it.
Which is nice because we have a lot of books out there that are more tactical, like how do I develop against it and so forth. But this is based on, I saw at one point David tweeted that he has touched every single feature available publicly in the Windows Azure platform.
I believe him.
And I believe it too. And he's been working with customers and, I mean, doing a lot of work with it around Windows Azure and the platform. So, you know, being able to take that knowledge that he's collected and articulate it as part of a strategy and planning guide, I think, is fabulous. So kudos to David.
And he qualified to be on Jeopardy. Did you know that? He took the test, and he passed, and he did, like, a rehearsal show, but then they still only take like a small percentage of those people, and so he hasn't been on the show yet.
Well,
but so if you want a book about Windows Azure by a guy who could be on Jeopardy,
right.
then you should buy
in
this
fact,
book.
In fact, I think the book is formatted so it always starts out, the answer is,
yeah,
and right. then he goes
That'll
from
be
there.
Helpful.
Yeah. The answer is the CDN, and then the whole chapter
and then it is about why.
A bunch of questions. Just... Okay, that should do it for
that's
the
it.
News,
yeah,
right?
That's
so
the news.
Let's move on. So we've got Nate here. Maybe you want to tell. Maybe you want to tell people what Thuzi is, because to me okay. it sounds like a food item. To be honest,
it would be
a
delicious food. If it,
it does sound delicious. So maybe you can tell people a little bit about what that is, but then okay. we can dive into this brand new solution that you've been developing.
Sounds good. So I work for a company called Thuzi. We do social media marketing. Facebook apps, various social analytics, social communications platforms. We also work on the Facebook C# SDK on CodePlex, which I think we'll be able to put a link to for anyone who's doing Facebook development.
Yep.
Absolutely.
We can do that.
And
I a number later.
Yeah. And I've used it as well. So okay. It's a nice resource.
I did not use it. I rolled my own.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyone who has used it, we are trying to get some documentation out there. So that's on the roadmap. We're working on.
But that's really the charity work you guys are doing, because that's all the support. I mean, you guys build some quite high scale Facebook apps that run on Windows Azure, and you've produced a bunch of. I mean, these are sort of your frameworks that you've built that you've done the nice thing to make
open
them sort of open source and put them on CodePlex, which is great. I'm sure. I bet there are lots of people who are watching this who appreciate that. If you do, you can tweet and make sure that he knows, so you know that it's appreciated. But that stuff's great. And what? And so you're here. We should probably say how it is that he's around.
You're up here. Well, so one of the things that our team does is we host deep dive events where we'll bring customers from around the world up here to meet with not only the evangelism team but also the product teams. And so we'll get folks like Steve, other members of his team, and so forth to meet with customers to help unblock and to provide some strategy and planning.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
This is Deep Dive Volume 1, Strategy and Planning.
No, but you know, really to help move projects along. And so you've been up here working with us this week, and I think what we're going to look at is a solution that's come out of some meetings you've had with Steve, myself, and some others. So.
And motivate for us the problem a little bit, right?
Okay.
Because
so
what is the problem that you're solving? Yeah.
Okay, so you know, at Thuzi, we develop a lot of different apps. Some of them are really large scale. You know, they need a whole, 10 Azure instances, their own role. But some of them, they're just pretty small. We develop really rapidly. It's not unusual to get something on a Monday and have to deploy it on a Thursday or Friday. Hopefully not Friday, but some, happens more often than we like. So those apps, we needed something a little faster and a little bit more where we didn't have to spend, $180 or whatever a month on two Azure roles just to host one simple website.
Right.
So what we developed is actually a solution where we could host a variety of different sites on a set of Azure instances and share them across a lot of different smaller apps or smaller websites. That way, one app could be, having high load or whatever, but the other ones are just kind of sitting there, so we're sharing a lot more resources. So it should cut down on our costs of
now,
Azure hosting.
A couple of weeks ago, Steve and I did a show on running multiple websites in an instance.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is not just that, but it's going the next step, because we declared all that stuff ahead of time within the service model. So
which
it was very explicit.
We have to redeploy a new...
Right.
Or,
so
I mean,
every
you
time
upgrade,
we change it.
Every time you change that, you have to deploy to everything.
Right.
And you have to deploy all of the websites again.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like that's what didn't work for you for what you guys need.
Yeah, we've got different teams, different release cycles, so we don't want to have to redeploy. Say we have 10 apps on this one set, on this one set of Azure roles. We don't want to have to redeploy 9 of those apps because we changed one of them.
Right.
So
right.
with this solution, what we've done is we've actually made it so we can deploy single apps and very quickly. We don't have to wait for the whole role to start up, anything like that. We can deploy a single app very quickly and not interrupt the other apps that are on the server.
Awesome.
Well, let me pass you the laptop
because I think people
now know that they're going to like to see this.
Right.
And so maybe you can, I don't know what makes sense. Does it make sense to show
demo first? Yeah,
and show
us, like, the end result. Like,
okay.
What is it going to look like?
Because it's so cool. I can't wait. So I want to see that. And then maybe you can show us a little bit of the code and how it works.
Okay, so what we have is we've got this thing. It's called Thuzi App. So what we have is we've got two different sets of deployments here. We've got a single one, which we're using as staging, and two Azure instances. These basically have they have almost no code on them. The instance itself is they're two web roles. They don't really have a website. They don't really do a whole lot of anything besides manage the deployment. So we don't actually deploy any websites.
So what is actually then running in the instance? So you must have deployed something to it and provisioned the site.
Yes, we have. I mean, it's basically just an empty web project that all we're running is in the web role start. We're running some code that just checks the blob for zip files, actually, of the sites we're wanting to deploy.
Okay, so you're using the web role CS, and then in and on start, you've written some code.
Yes, yep, absolutely. And so the deployment for this is super easy. What we do is we have this site, we have our production set up to read this blob sites, and then we have our staging set up to read site staging.
Okay.
So let's go to, we've got this folder, we closed our folder.
Okay.
Where is our folder?
Temp, ctemp. And then CC.
Okay. So, okay, we've got this site, mynewsite.shared.thuzy.com. The reason we have it on here is we actually have this map to a record on our DNS, so shared.thuzy.com points to this particular role. So we've got our website here. You know, it's a regular ASP.NET website. Our deployment is, you know, can't be any easier. All we do is we zip it up. So mynewsite.shared.thuzy.com, and it's all by convention here. So then we've got this Cloud Explorer, and all we have to do is upload that site to the Azure blob, and then what that role that's running in the cloud is doing is I have it configured every 30 seconds. It checks that blob to see, are there any new sites running.
Nice.
So if we wait a little bit.
So it pulls it down and unzips it, and the name of the zip file means the host header,
yes,
right? And so we were configuring that in XML. Here it's sort of
by convention. Based on the name.
Yep. So
while it's running, while we're waiting, can you pull up the onStart method so we get a sense as to what this is doing?
Yep. So this is our solution, WebRoll. We've actually made a class. This is all our WebRoll does is run these two things. It runs one method on start and one on run. So here's our we're calling it our web deployment engine, and so this is just running. Let's see. Let's go to the run here. Guess we could use that. Okay. So on run, we're just telling this to sync forever. It's going to repeat every 30 seconds, and on that sync, what we're doing is we're checking a variety of things, but first thing we do is we go to the blob, and we just list all the blob containers. Mm-hmm. We loop through those containers, check for, you know, are they a zip file, then we go and extract it and actually unzip that file to a folder on our Azure role. It's a local resource called Sites.
Nice.
And then using the ISS management API, we then go ahead and create a new IS site. We set the bindings, so we set with HTTPS and HTTP. We create a new app pool for each site, and then we save it.
Cool.
So it should be.
So that site should be up by now, right?
It should be up. So let's open a here. So we called it mynewsite.shared.thuzy.com. Starting up for the first time, and that's it.
That
so cool
awesome.
Cloud cover demo. So, you know, anyone who's done web deploys to Azure knows that it takes usually 15, 20 minutes. And this for a shop that's just doing lots of little small apps and deploying quickly, I think it's
awesome.
Going to save us a lot of time.
Now, what's nice too is you've got two instances running, so you still have some durability.
Yep.
Even if one were to go down and then that instance starts back up and it takes 30 seconds to redeploy, you've got another instance of that application running.
Yep.
So you still...
And all these changes are... everything's persistent because it's a zip file and blob storage. Because I'm always leery about, using web deploy or something to just update, a single instance. One, it's a single instance, so already you've sort of failed the test of highly available cloud app.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not persistent.
Right.
If that goes down and comes back up, it's going to be reset, and you'll have to go deploy it again.
Yep.
Here, the zip file has all the content.
Yep.
When the role instance starts up, it's going to pull all the zip files just like it did before, and it's going to get all the current stuff, which is very cool. So I think this is a pretty clever way to manage lots of websites sharing the same, the same role in the same app.
Yeah. Yep. And just like any other Azure role, we can scale up if some of those sites get busy, we can scale up to 4, 10, whatever, however many instances, and they'll instantly replicate all that content. So. Yeah.
And I know one of the things you talked about was... having the ability to then dedicate, if one particular app just takes off like crazy, you don't necessarily want to be sharing, you can always add more instances, but you're running all the apps on all the instances, and you were talking about sometimes wanting to pull it out and run it on its own thing, or run maybe two apps here and three others in a different set. Mm-hmm. And here that just means you have to put the zip file in a different place, right?
Yeah, you could. So we could do a couple different things. I mean, we could have a whole Azure deployment just for one app, and then run it on there if it's really busy, and then just make a DNS change to point back to the other one. Or we could then scale. We could make a whole new deployment and then just put that one zip file on there. So there's a lot of flexibility.
What's nice is since you're using the IIS management API, I mean, you could do a whole bunch of different things. I mean, you could put in logic that as you scale out, you could have something else either by convention or through config decide to allocate just a couple of websites to a group of those instances. Or,
Be careful about the routing, right? Because actually some people have also gone down that path where they've said, well, look, we're going to have one role, but we're actually going to partition it. Like, half the instances are going to be doing one thing and half the other. And the challenge with that is that if you don't do anything else, we just load balance randomly, which means we might hit a server that doesn't actually have that site or something. But people have been using application request routing or other things like that to do the sort of intelligent routing. Yep. There's really no end to, I mean, now... It's we keep repeating this, but now that you've got elevated privileges and you've got startup tasks, you can install the stuff you need, you have all the permissions, you can do whatever you want, and you can set up very complex things, or architecturally very simple things. Yep. I mean, the code's not
200 lines
trivial,
of code.
But it's sort of straightforward what it does, and that's great. I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you going to release this code also? Is this something you're going to share?
Yeah, I think I'll put it up on CodePlex and write a blog post about it that we'll link to on the show.
That's great. Oh, so you even before the show goes out, you're going to get...
We'll see.
That's a strong commitment. Hopefully in the show notes then we'll have a link to that project already. If not, next week or something, we'll cover it in the news and make sure to point whenever you got it out.
Okay. That's great.
That's very cool.
That is very cool.
Thanks a lot for coming here and showing us that.
Yeah. I think now we should go to
it's tip time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, we have to tell Bob what to do for our tip. I think he should show us.
I think whatever the tip of the week intro is, it's got to include some kittens.
I think it should be kittens eating a Thuzi. It's a delicious food.
It's candy, maybe.
Yeah,
it's
We need kittens eating Thuzi.
Eating Thuzi. Excellent.
Good luck with that, Bob.
All right, well, with that, here's your tip of the week. And we're back. All right. I'm sure that was great.
I'm looking forward to the Thuzi and the kittens.
Yes.
Both in this case.
Particularly the Thuzi. I would like to see what Bob thinks about when he hears the word Thuzi.
Yeah. We will see. Okay, so we've got a tip that's sort of related to this. You guys are using a startup task to install something in here. A lot of people are. We've been talking about it a lot. But one thing we haven't talked about is specifically using MSIs, because you really want to be careful about... Actually, any installer you want to make sure that you're doing it in the super silent mode.
Right.
Because if a dialog box pops
up... You're not there to click it.
There's no one there to click it. Yeah, it's some philosophical... If a dialog box pops up on a headless server... Does it make a sound? So you do want to make sure that it's the super quiet mode. If you're doing an MSI, there's a standard flag for this, and the one that I like to use is /QN. So I've sort of pulled up, this is some code. I guess we're revealing this app right now, but I've got at things.smarks.com, I've got a bunch of stuff running there. Well, it's a giant list of stuff that you can do with Windows Azure. Feel free to kind of click through these and see what they are.
It's a great site.
It's pretty fun. But one of the things it's got is an example of how to install Python. And Python uses an MSI installer to install it on Windows. And so the basic thing here is that you want to do MSI exec, /i, which means install, then the MSI itself, and then /qn.
Yep.
And qn is like the super silent. Yep. It's worse than /q. Well, it's better than /q for what you need, which is just don't show me any dialog box. Mm-hmm. Just do it. And so it's the Nike. That's what the N is. It's /q Nike for just do it.
Nice.
I thought so. Target dir. This is. I don't think this is a standard thing. Most MSIs. It could be that it's standard. Actually, I think most have a way to. In the quiet mode, you need some way to tell it what path to install to.
Yep.
In this case, I'm using this Python path, which I basically just got from
And where do you get
that? Where did I get that? Get local resource. So it's just a local resource that I've declared called Python.
Okay.
I'm doing some goofy batch file magic to sort of call an executable to get that path. And then we've done it before using PowerShell. I think we've shown some stuff like this. Some things on my blog about doing it with PowerShell. Here's another way, is just with a batch file, call out to an executable that gets the path.
Yep.
And then here, put it in the target directory. Slash log is standard. Yep. I think it's a good idea to give a specified, you know, specific named log in a place where you know where to find it, so that if you're remoting in later to figure out what went wrong in that install, you'll know where that log file is.
Yep.
So that's basically it. So if you're doing an MSI, make sure you just call msiexec slash i, name of the MSI, and then /qn.
And then eventually slash log.
Those are the key ones. Yeah. But even if you leave that one off,
it's still going to work.
It's not the end of the world. The /qn, though, if you leave that off, it's not going to work. It's going to pop up a dialog box. Things are going to fail. Mm-hmm. You'll be very upset. So that's our tip on that.
Awesome.
With
Thank
that,
you.
I think that that wraps up our show. We will be here next week if we can get our times straightened out.
Yep.
They want me to wake up and be here at 9:30 in the morning to record this show. So next week, I'm going to be drifting off while Wade's talking.
And we should be clear, like 12:30 was our previous time, and that was still a stretch for you.
Yeah, like that was, I was always racing in to get
Steve
in time.
Here at like 12:40 and say, good morning, Wade, and I'm hi, Steve.
It's tough, so we're going to try 9:30. I might just stay up the night. It might be easier than trying to wake up in the morning. So, but we will be back here, which means if you tweet us at @CloudCoverShow on the Twitters, we will see those tweets.
Yep. And we've been actually
ignore them.
We've been communicating with people through Twitter.
We have
more
been.
Recently.
We've been
people happy with the show, and you know.
By we, I mean Wade. Wade's been good about responding there. So do send us your tweets.
Yeah.
And again, thanks a lot, Nate, for coming
thank
on
you,
the
Nate.
Show.
Absolutely. Great stuff.
Until next time, thank you.
Thank you.